Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I am joined for the weekly legislative update by State Senator for District 10, Jake Chapman. Jake, thank you as always for joining me.
Thanks, Joe. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So we have a lot to talk about today, so let's get right into it. Starting with the most recent funnel, the first of two funnels, what can you tell me about some bills that made it through this?
Yeah, we passed a lot of bills through the first funnel. There's a lot of bills still eligible for debate. We'll see how those progress, but they range from, of course, the Life Amendment, Second Amendment. We have a comprehensive election bill, issues surrounding property tax relief. Those are all bills that have made it through the funnel and will continue to be discussed. Again, there's a whole host of them that just very few, Joe, that we've been able to pass out and make it through this first funnel. Of course, those will get whittled down even further when we approach our second funnel, first part of April. And those bills need to make it through one of the two chambers and then through the committee of the other chamber. And so we'll see when we hit that second funnel what ones are still eligible. But for right now, we still have a lot on the docket that can be considered.
For sure. Now, as far as that second funnel is concerned, is there any specific bills that you feel confident are going to make it through?
Well, it's tough to say, Joe. Sometimes you think bills that are easy to get passed all of a sudden are very difficult to pass. And sometimes bills that you think there's no way it's ever going to pass end up getting passed. So I think it's a little premature to say what bills will pass and what bills will get to the governor's desk. But we'll see, of course, any appropriation bill and ways and means bill, so anything dealing with the budget as well as any tax policy, are immune from these funnels. And so I think one of the big ones that we're still going to have robust debate about will be the property tax relief bill. And the Senate hasn't put our version out yet, but I'm sure it's coming in the coming days, and hopefully we can provide some relief to property tax-paying Iowans.
All right. Now let's dive a little bit deeper into some of the specific bills that you mentioned, starting with the, as you called it, the Life Amendment. It deals with changing the language in the Constitution involving abortion rights. What can you tell me about where this legislation is currently at?
It's a great question, Joe. We passed it out of committee. It's eligible for floor debate in the Senate right now. I've been working with the House to make sure that the language is what we want to pass. Obviously, whenever you're going to change or amend the Constitution, words matter. And so you want to make sure that the language is correct and it's right. So I've been working with the House, but I'm confident and optimistic that we're going to have a vote in the Senate. This constitutional amendment is necessary due to a Supreme Court ruling in which they found a fundamental constitutional right in Iowa's Constitution. I've been very outspoken on that issue. They relied on Article 1, Section 6, and Section 9 of the Constitution. If you read those two sections, I can assure you, you will not see the word abortion or anything that could be construed as abortion. But yet, it's necessary to do. The reality is, if Roe v. Wade were overturned today, we would go from one of the more conservative states in the nation to one of the most liberal states when it comes to the issue of abortion because of this Iowa Supreme Court ruling. So it's necessary for us to bring this constitutional amendment forward. As you know, Joe, it takes a long time to get a constitutional amendment passed. It's got to go through two general assemblies, so that means we've got to pass it this year or next year, go through an election, pass it again with the exact same verbiage in the next general assembly, and then it would go to a vote of the people. So you're looking at about a four-year process.
For sure. So we will definitely keep an eye on the latest involving that constitutional amendment. Now let's move on to another one. The amendment involving felon voting rights is being discussed still. What can you tell me about where this is currently at?
Yeah, my understanding is they've got it out of committee in the House. Last I had heard, it did not pass the funnel in the Senate. There are a number of individuals, myself included, that are concerned with the language. Again, we want to make sure when you change the Constitution, the language is correct. I think there's a number of us that want to see some parameters put in place. Obviously, restitution is a key part of that. And then there's a question as to, are there some crimes so egregious that even when you are released from prison, those voting rights should not be restored? For example, in the case of murder, you might be released, but that's a policy question that we need to decide. Should your voting rights be restored? In addition to that, we have constitutional rights to own guns. And so under the federal constitution, should those rights be restored? Should we restore, if we're going to restore voting rights, should we also restore gun rights? and there's a lot of discussion about that as well. So we'll see how this progresses, but right now I think there's some folks that need to work on the language to make sure it's the right language if we're going to do this. I do think we have a pretty good system in place right now in which a felon who has served their time can petition the governor to restore those voting rights, and that does occur frequently. So we'll see how it progresses.
Absolutely. Now let's move on to some more controversial bills, old column, starting with the judicial nomination reform, which has now passed through the Senate. What can you tell me about this legislation and what you passed?
Yeah, so again, this is a little bit more controversial. I don't think a lot of Iowans, as I've gone out and talked to Iowans, understand exactly how this process works. Unlike the federal government, the governor does not pick a judge, and then we confirm them through the Senate. That's how it's done at the federal level. That's not how it's done at the state level. And the biggest controversy over this is the fact that a board of 16, 17 people, half of them are appointed or elected to that board because they're a lawyer. And so you have a very small group, less than 10,000 Iowans, who represents over half of the commission. And these are individuals that, I mean, if you look at it, just consider the EPA. Would we allow the EPA to have ExxonMobil employees represent half of the commission? Of course not. You never do that. No one would agree to that. But yet that's exactly what's happened with our judicial system. We have attorneys representing half of the commission to choose these judges. And I think there's some serious conflicts of interest when the people serving on that commission being attorneys and then having this senior judge from the Supreme Court also serving on that committee. I think there's undue influence. And so we put forward language that changes the commission. It, for the most part, keeps the commission intact at the district level, but the main focus is at the Supreme Court level. And so we want fairness, we want transparency, we want the commission to be held responsible by the taxpayers of Iowa. And right now, when you have a super delegation of attorneys that are not held accountable by Iowans, it just has, I think, caused too many problems and too many conflicts of interest.
All right. Well, that bill is now in the House, so we will continue to monitor it from there. Now, going through some other bills pretty quickly, the ag gag bill is now law. So what can you tell me to explain what this is?
Yeah, so previously the legislature passed a bill that was ruled unconstitutional. And the focus of this are individuals who are going into different production plants, processing plants, livestock facilities, for the purpose of taking videos or pictures to cause economic or physical harm to that business or et cetera. And so we passed this bill on a bipartisan basis, and the bill has been rewritten to maintain constitutional muster, if you will. This is similar language that has been passed in other states, which has passed that constitutional threshold. And I think it's important for our ag community, of course, and it's a good bill, and it's now law.
All right. Now, a couple more bills to talk about. The election bill has kind of been a bill of frequent conversation. So what can you tell me about this legislation?
Yeah, so this was a bill that was put forth by the state government chairman, and it's a comprehensive election bill. I would say there's a couple of pieces of this that have been a little more controversial than others. One thing that I really like in this bill is getting rid of the Secretary of State's responsibility to publish constitutional amendments. If you recall, we've talked about a couple of constitutional amendments here. And one of those, for example, the Second Amendment constitutional amendment, we had to restart, even though we passed it in the last General Assembly. This should be the last time we're passing it, but now we're starting over and doing it for the first time, simply because the Secretary of State did not publish the constitutional amendment in some newspapers, and that is a requirement under the law. And so part of the bill removes that requirement from the Secretary of State, puts the authority back to the legislature to publish electronically those constitutional amendments. That being said, I think the big part of this bill that has received a lot of focus is the fact that it would close polling times from 9 o'clock down to 8 o'clock. When I talked with the chairman, I think it makes a lot of sense what he's proposing. If you are a city election, you close at 8 o'clock. If you're a primary election, you close at 9 o'clock. If you're a school board election, it's 8 o'clock. If it's a general election, 9 o'clock, and so forth, and special elections, 8 o'clock. So there's a lot of inconsistency as to when we close our voting. And so he has put forth language to say it's 8 o'clock across the board. Doesn't matter which election, it's going to be 8 o'clock. And, you know, the other point he makes is, you know, these general elections, we're seeing numbers coming in Utah out west, and then all of a sudden Iowa's reporting back in the Midwest because we closed so much later than everyone else. So I just think it, to a certain extent, it makes sense to close at 8 across the board. Maybe there's some, you know, valid reasons to make it 9 o'clock across the board. But what I'm looking for is creating that consistency across all elections.
All right. One last thing that I want to talk about today is a Supreme Court ruling on transgender rights. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, this was a huge decision, and the Supreme Court ruled that under Iowa's Medicaid program, taxpayers of Iowa must pay for gender reassignment surgery. So these surgeries are upwards of $100,000 per operation. And this is of grave concern to me and to my colleagues. I've had multiple conversations with both members in the Senate and the House. Look, we, under our Medicaid program, we have providers who are struggling to get paid. We have individuals who need insulin. We have life-saving medications that we need to make sure are being provided for residents of Iowa. And here we have a Supreme Court ruling which is going to require taxpayers to pay for this surgery. And in my opinion, it's a cosmetic elective surgery. Others will argue with me about that. But if we do nothing, Iowa will become a hotbed for other out-of-state individuals who want to come into the state, gain residency, get on Iowa's Medicaid, and get these surgeries because they are so expensive. We are the only state that I'm aware of that now has this protected right, if you will, under Iowa Medicaid. So I do believe we will get this resolved and we'll get this changed. We have to, for the sake of Iowa's Medicaid sustainability, quite frankly. And then there's other issues that come from this with the Department of Corrections and so forth. So very much looking forward to getting this issue resolved.
All right. Well, State Senator Jake Chapman, anything else that you would like to mention to our listeners today?
Joe, it's always a pleasure. I sure appreciate you letting me come on and talk to you.
Well, thank you for joining me as well, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Jake Chapman. I'm Dallas County News Director Joe Sierwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.